It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 821.
Happy Fat Friday, Gronks. What's happening? What's going on?
So the premise was I was ordering you what I wanted to eat for Fat Fridays, and you were ordering me what you wanted to eat for Fat Fridays.
Yeah, yeah. So it is Fat Friday. So you gotta we had to sort of indulge. Your food is here, Josh. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go get it?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go.
Okay, I'll say. Okay. So today's Fat Friday, guys. I had the idea that Josh could look through the Uber Eats app and find something that he really wants for himself. So it's his. It's what he wants. And then he has to send that to me. And then I do the same. I have to look through the app and find what I really want to eat and then send that to Josh. So he's already got his food. Mine's not here yet. I'm pissed.
But okay, I'm very happy. Thank you.
You're happy?
Yeah.
Can you see it already?
Yep. Yeah, it's coming in the bag. It's come in the bag. Funnily enough, would it disturb you to know that I've actually, what you've ordered me, I've had this week?
Well,
can I explain?
What explain because I really feel like eating this right now, but I'm not eating.
Thanks,
it right
Tommy.
Now.
It says on the side, enjoy the burgs. Give feedback. grilled.com.au/feedback. What you've gotten me is the trio sliders: brie chick, classic, zen chick, Pepsi Max,
and. This is Jessica Lucas inspired.
Yes.
Producer Jess. It's her. She's the. They call her the slider, or they call her trio,
Yeah. Sliders but she,
that's
nickname.
That's her. Sliders. This is her go-to. Uh-huh. Sliders. The trio of sliders from Grilled.
Have you
and
had
so,
it before?
I mean, never had it. I saw it. I thought I want that. And I had to give what I wanted to you. So,
what do you think that I've gotten you?
Oh, mate. See, you're sort of more central to the closer to the city. There's more options. Mm-hmm. I feel there is only a handful of things you can get me in the suburb that that I'm in, okay. Bulleen. So, most likely it's a kebab, or a pizza, or I reckon that's it. That's all that is around here.
You could be onto something. How far off is... Actually, I can tell you how far off yours is. Hopefully nothing's happened in the meantime. Let's see. I'm just having a look at the Uber Eats app. I've actually used the business function. Ooh. You know, like I put in the card. It's the first order business I've card, done yeah, on the yeah. business expense because yeah. I normally leave that to you. Yeah. And there's a whole section on Uber Eats where you put in your business. Is that what you do?
Well, I did see that, and then you can assign other people to be able to use it. It seems quite, I mean, it's, yeah, it's, so it seems pretty thought through.
Arrival for you business. Is in 4 minutes.
Oh, great. I just need, Amy and I it was one of these things where she's like, I said, oh, I can't wait to share this with Josh on the show. She says, don't you dare put it on the show. And then she goes,
like,
oh,
have you heard what he said about Brie?
That makes you, and then she said, that makes you want to do it more, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. When I say don't put it on the show, I was like, yeah, it does. It definitely does. One of the most infuriating, this is silly because it's such a basic question, infuriating. Every time she's going outside, she says to me, well, what's the weather? Is it cold? Should I put on a jumper? I actually came to the conclusion that it's pretty safe that in wintertime, always go warm.
Yeah.
Always go warm. It's not like summertime is like you can be, look outside and it looks a bit, and then you go out
Even
and
spring?
It's super hot. Spring, mate, safe to wear a jumper and then just put it, hold it. Mm-hmm. And so there's just this infuriating conversation.
Where is Amy going? Like, and why are you going out, and then what's Amy planning?
I'm at home and she's just going to do some shopping. It's always, what's the weather? Is it cold outside? Is it cold enough for a jumper? I'm just
why
like,
don't you
that
just
conversation-
set a rule and just say, look, I'll just tell you if it's hot.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's my relationship rule.
Yeah.
I will inform you when the weather is too hot for a jumper. Uh-huh. And then that's when you... So, other than that, it's always a jumper that you'll be taking.
I mean, the thing that you need to be aware of is when you bring up stuff within your relationship that's very low level, you are opening yourself up for feedback. I got some feedback
last
night. Yeah.
Did you?
Got a text message.
Unsolicited or did you...
Always unsolicited. When am I ever asking people for their opinions in this sort of context, you know?
All right.
So I got this from Ben Fordham at 8:37 p.m. last night.
Mate, you got breakfast radio in about 3 hours' time. What are you doing up messaging Josh?
So, mate. And it's all written out, it like very sort of spread out. It says, mate.
Oh, wow.
Buy your own fucking coffee. Get up first. Get in the shower first. Buy the fucking coffees. Bree is not your mum or your personal assistant. If it means something to you, take control. Thanks, bro. BF.
Best friend or
best friend, yeah, Ben best Fordham? I mean, I think...
Nice.
I don't like being told what to do, so I didn't get the coffee this morning. Because I felt like I'd be doing it for Ben. And if I'm going to do it, it's for Bree and I.
No, that is funny. That is funny. Oh, I'm pumped for this food.
I'll tell you how. I mean, it's very hard to concentrate, isn't it, when you're if you're trying to decide.
When you get a delivery. Bodhi just got a delivery from his grandparents. He was so excited.
He's fired up.
And he got a brand new transformer.
Mm-hmm. I can actually give Bree one of the sliders. Breezy, do you want to I got sliders. You can have one of them. And just put the other two on the plate. You pick the one that you want.
Oh, now that is a generous guy. You know, don't listen.
What a flex.
what a
Ben
move.
Fordham. What sort of guy is giving up one of his sliders? And it's definitely, I'm not doing this for optics. I was going to do it anyway. I forgot we were recording, to be honest.
Do you know, I actually got it thinking, because I am always considering, what if Bree likes wants to eat?
Yes.
Two, it's like a fun time for us. And I thought you could have given her one, so I'm glad that you did and I didn't have to tell you
Hopefully she takes one of the chicken ones. If I end up with two chicken, I'll be upset.
Bodhi's favourite food at the moment, I don't know if it's a food, it's definitely not a food, vitamin C tablets that taste like orange.
Okay.
He's obsessed.
I mean, you're doing that a bit. Like, you're going in the vitamin C a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it's always good. I'm feeling a bit under the weather, but I crack off half, and so he gets half a tab. But now I've realised that I can't go for a drive with him because sometimes I want him to go to sleep, and we have to go for a little hoon around the suburb. I can't give him a vitamin C around the time that we go in the car where he might be sleeping, because this week in the car. And I'm tired. When you're trying to get a kid to sleep, it's like usually coincides with you being really tired as well, because you're like, oh, God, when will this kid sleep so I can just like put my chair back and just have a little nap, because he won't sleep in a bed during the day. Sleeps at 9 in his bed.
So you go into the – you go to a car park or something?
Oh, I have many – mate, I have been everywhere. I've been in car parks, lurking.
The guy that got a fine because he was in his car, do you hear about this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I'm going.
There was a, but his housemate was having loud sex, so that's why.
That was after curfew, though. It was after curfew.
Okay.
And so you're a gronk if you're out after curfew.
Sure. Okay,
that makes sense. It's the rule. Don't leave the house after 8. Yeah. Whereas I'm dry. Like, it might coincide with getting petrol, level. Or I'm heading out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be so surprised if they actually find you, and you're like, mate, I've got a kid.
That'd be a good story. I feel like you'd be able to create a video on it.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And so,
what's the vitamin C got to do with it?
So, Bodhi's trying to sleep, and he doesn't. It's a bit sour for him to crunch up the vitamin C tablet, and so what he started doing is just licking it like a cat licking a salt lick. And so, in the back, he's falling asleep, and then he drops the vitamin C and wakes up and where is it? And he's panicking, where's my vitamin C gone? Who's stolen it? Oh, grabs it. And then there was a few times where he actually dropped it down onto the ground and I had to pull over and fucking get this thing. No more.
What about an everlasting gobstopper?
Oh, remember those things?
But you can still get them. If I sent you guys one as a gift for Bodhi, would you let him have it?
Nah. He'd become obsessed with it. It'd be like some sort of weird sort of tick of his. He'd just have it in his pocket and just be just pulling it out every 5 minutes. It's freaky.
Did you have one as a kid, though?
Yeah, we went to the... I used to get them from the shops, mm-hmm. Smaller ones and then the big ones. I got too impatient with them, so I'd like to, like, break them open.
Yeah.
Then, like, you get a different flavor and there's a bit of fizz on the inside. I'm actually surprised Bodhi is a... He holds stuff. Like, he doesn't go necessarily... I would think, because he loves chocolate, he would just go, like mm-hmm. stuff his face.
He, like, hides it and shit.
No, he goes slow at it, and he savors it. I was really impressed.
Is this just on the vitamin C, or is this actually chocolate? Because he was smashing the Easter eggs.
Yeah, he was, but like a bigger piece of chocolate, some dessert.
Your order's there, by the way.
Is it? Yep. All right, I'm going to go check this. Hang on. All right.
So, everyone, what I've gotten him is some McDonald's. I got him. Nuggets, a Big Mac, and something else, and some sauces too. But we'll let him do this. Here we go. Are you happy? Are you happy or not?
Yeah. Well, it depends on what's in it.
I feel like you're disappointed.
No. I'm happy because there's a Big Mac in there. I'm unhappy.
Well, the Big Mac was free.
Was it?
Yeah.
Or Amy can have the Big Mac.
That's
I'm happy.
What I thought.
I had the rule of not eating
beef,
meat, and so no, this is good. So this is great because it's actually what I would never go and buy, and so it's always nice when you get something.
Describe what you've
wouldn't
got.
Ever buy. All right, so I've got chicken McNuggets, 10 of them.
Wasn't it 20?
10. Oh, hang on. 10. Two packs of 10.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, got you 20.
Yes. All right, got two of these. I got a fillet of fish, very in theme with this week because we're talking about them.
Can you show me
them.
A fillet of fish? Oh, fillet wow. fish. I want to see what it looks like. Oh,
wow.
It looks fake.
It literally looks fake. Oh, my God.
Can we get a still? Let's get the thumbnail for that. That's ridiculous.
Hang on. I'll pull that down. Look at it glistening.
That's ridiculous. It really does look fake. And so you got a fillet of fish.
Fillet of fish. Fillet of fish.
Some nugs. The sauces? What sauces have you got?
All right, I got I got Big Mac sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
how
yes.
How big is the Big Mac sauce? I want to say, okay, yeah.
It's just a small little serving. No, it seems like normal size. And then I've got, what else we got here? We got sweet and sour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your standard, stock standard. And then what else is down here? What's in this? Shaker fries.
Yeah, so do you know what shaker fries are?
Dude, old school.
I don't understand it, so I just added it in, but what is it?
So, shaker fries, cheeseburger-flavoured shaker seasoning for shaker fries. Oh,
and so is it like peri-peri? Is that the idea? Like it's like a peri-peri chips?
Yeah, so it's like, it's feels like a salty, salt texture.
What does it say to do? Has it got instructions? I'm just going to start eating one of my...
Oh, my God.
Sliders.
So, it smells like cheeseburger. It smells like the sort of oniony, the onion. Oh, it's just a powder. And so, what I'm going to do is mix in some chips into this bag that they supply you with. I won't go all of them so I can sort of have a few with some other stuff.
Well, you do and that. I'll show you everyone what the sliders look like. It's a slider from Grilled. Bree ended up giving me all three because she felt like a sandwich instead.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Okay. So, I've shaken up the shaker fries and I've got... oh, wow.
Do they taste different?
Heaps different.
Really?
Mm. So, it's giving them a full flavour. Like, Macca's chips are just salty. Now, these are like actually adding a flavour to it.
So, shaker fries... When did they... Like, I wonder if you can just buy... Because I saw... I nearly got this for you, but I thought it would have been annoying. You can buy milk and bread from Macca's now.
You should have got me...
So I nearly got Macca's milk bag and bread. Like, I just got you groceries from Macca's, but I thought you would have been pissed off.
Do you know, in the back of my head today, because I haven't eaten meat from Macca's, like I said, for a couple of years, meat being beef... I literally was like, oh, maybe I'll just get like, because I wanted burgers today. And so you nailed it. You've nailed it. And I was like, maybe I'll just get like a dirty Big Mac or something.
Mm-hmm. Will you have the Big Mac? It's been a while. I think have it. Because so you're having the filo of fish. fillet a fish?
It's fillet.
Fillet o fish?
It's meant to be. Yeah, is there an O in the middle?
Yeah. There is? Yeah, 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 okay.
Fillet o fish.
Now, so fillet they put a lot of tartare sauce.
A lot. Oh. That's good. Mm.
Happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. And it's actually Amy's favourite burger.
Really? So okay, so you're going to give that a half. Is it fishy?
It definitely tastes like fish. Yeah.
Okay. Like a big finger, a fish finger? Were you a big fish finger?
It tastes like that,
kid?
But better.
Okay.
Yeah, we had them. We had them. Amy was a big fish finger kid.
Is it a rectangle?
Maybe that's
piece
why
of
she
cheese?
Likes them.
Is it because I think I remember when I worked at Macca's, they were like small rectangular.
It's at the bottom and it's complete. It's just like a, it's completely melted.
Okay.
And so I couldn't tell you what shape
it is. No, that's fine. All right. And so are you going to have your Big Mac then?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like this is one of the whole cases of like, oh no, you got me a Big Mac. And then I was like, I'm going to have to eat it. And you're like, no, I'm not going to eat it. It's like, you don't have to. No, it's in my mouth.
No.
I didn't say how to eat it.
I've got willpower.
But
I'm off the alcohol.
Yeah, but you only have a certain amount of willpower.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Do you reckon
there
you have
there
a
is literally, so there is, it's a thing called ego depletion. So look it up. We all have a bucket of willpower and there's only a certain amount, like it's not endless amount. So if you decide I'm going to eat well, that uses up a bit of your willpower. Then if you decide, okay, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m., that uses some more. And you can get to a point where there's no willpower left. And that's ego depletion. And if you get to that stage, you start doing shit that you just want to do. Mm. So it's just like, fuck it, I'm going to eat the Big Mac because you've got none left in your bucket.
Why ego depletion?
Is don't
it
know
saying that your ego is driving your... What's the ego driving?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll tell you. So... ego depletion theory. I think I read this in, I think Dan Ariely, the organizational psychologist, spoke about it. Ego depletion, this is on Wikipedia. Ego depletion refers to the idea that self-control or willpower draws upon a limited pool of mental resources that can be used up, with the word ego used in psychological sense rather than the colloquial sense. When the energy for a mental activity is low, self-control typically is impaired, which would be considered a state of ego depletion. So,
okay, so it's almost like it's more of a you're vulnerable when you're really tired. Mm-hmm. You've had a huge day, and so if you're relying on your will, like that willpower or that holding off, it can be affected by the times that you are tired or. It's all a bit too much, which is where the non-negotiable thing, I guess, becomes a powerful thing. So you're not relying on power or, you know, self-control because it's a, I don't do that.
Well,
I don't
so this
drink.
Is the whole thing. So this is the thing. So the where it gets used is when it comes to food and things like that. So if you want to lose weight or if you want to control your calories, if you want to avoid ego depletion, one of the senses is it's like a language change. So normally when people are at a party and they're on a diet and they're serving cake, there's two different ways that you can say it. And like decline the cake. And depending on how you say it will depend on whether it will potentially use some of your willpower or not. So the first version is I can't have that. Or I'm not allowed that. And so if you do that is using, I think, more willpower because you are potentially wanting it. Whereas if you change the language to, I don't want that, no thanks, I don't want any, that then is way more powerful because you're actually not entering into that the bucket of willpower.
Yeah, I get it. Because then when you're like, oh, I miss it. Oh, I wish I could have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're saying no, then you feel the pain in that because you're longing for it at that moment. It's Amy's getting stuck right into that fillet o fish.
Really?
And she just said, I fucking love it. She's a happy girl in this house.
This is good.
For me, the drinking stuff, it's like having such a clear no in my head doesn't, I don't feel like I'm requiring any willpower. I don't need anything. There's actually nothing.
I think that's because you've reconciled that this is a choice that you want to make. It's not happening to you.
Yeah.
You are choosing, and that's where, like, if you work somewhere, you have way more likely, like, there's a higher likelihood to succeed if you're at a workplace and you say, this isn't perfect for me right now, but I'm working here because I'm making money to be able to go on to the next thing, or because I'm doing this or that. Versus if you say, I fucking hate my job, I don't want to be here, but I have to be here, all of a sudden you're entering into a space where you're a bit of out of control, and you're going to have to enter into your willpower. And then all of a sudden, if you're using your willpower for that, then all of a sudden when a Big Mac comes in front of you, like it has now, baby needs to eat it. And so, I mean, you can actually see that, like, how many times have you in the last, like, I can relate to this anyway. It's like you give yourself a break. How many times are you like, I've got to give myself a break? Like, fuck, I've worked hard all day. I'm just going to order food. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I think the reason is because if you're in Victoria right now, we're having to enter into willpower because we are not deciding to be stuck at home right now. And so I think that that's why, for me, I was very keen in the early days to be like, we're making the choice of moving early as a way of it not feeling as though it was being forced upon us, or it was and that it was a decision that was made by us. Because if it's a decision made by us, ownership and all of that sort of stuff is at a higher level.
Yeah.
Anyway, Big Mac.
Yeah, I mean, I put my sort of blinkers on. It helps for certain things. And I think about how it can be destructive to be sort of single focused, like if you are sort of that rigid rule, and then what kind of energy that brings. And the alcohol one requires some level of trade off about being so just like, no, that's not what I do at this moment. Has a whole bunch of ricochet effect, but then it's like weighing up. So there's like some negatives in that sort of really sort of strict thinking about how I don't do it, and that's, you know, but then on the other side is a higher benefit, a higher reward than any of the little negatives that come out of having a really focused mindset. And so, I mean, look at athletes. It's like some of them are so, like, what it requires to achieve whatever they're doing, training and not doing all the things. You see how it's like, it can be really destructive when they come out the other side, because it falls apart because they were able to achieve in a certain area and have all this sort of strict rules around behavior. And then when you release it, what happens there? It's like,
all of a sudden you have choice. And so what happens with, so you deciding not to drink, all of a sudden you don't have to necessarily use the willpower like you had to before. So if you had the option of, oh yeah, I have a balanced diet and I drink whenever, and it's like, I'm just, it's all about balance, you're potentially having to use that willpower. And there's a great, there's an old...
You know what it avoids though? What you avoid, so for me, that approach of, I'll just do it sort of, you know, every now and then, blah, 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 no, nothing specific, it's just... I end up might drink fucking 5 days in a row and then have 3 weeks off and then whatever it be, once a week for multiple weeks. What happens is the feelings about myself. And so then it's like how you are looking at yourself, and that's that self-talk of like, oh, you piece of shit, you haven't done this right, or you're not doing, you know, that's where the pain can come from, whereas the strict no allow it like you're not entering into those feelings. And so it definitely works for some. It's just about, is it consistent? Can you keep it consistent for the rest of your life or for a long period of time?
But then there's, I think it's a TED talk, the paradox of choice. Have you watched that?
No.
I just remember the guy's got really good jeans on. He's like old school sort of.
What kind of jeans?
Yeah, Subi? I think. Yeah, nah, they're like like a light.
No Subi jeans.
Yeah, I don't know. They were cool jeans, but there's it's what, 2006, so it's 14 years old. But the paradox of choice. It's even a book. the theory is, rather than just reading it, I'll just tell you what I remember of it. It's just the whole thing of why is it that we have Netflix, Stan, and all of this, all these different fucking streaming services, yet we can't work out what fucking movie to watch. And so I think that this plays into it as well, where it's like more choice doesn't mean that life's easier. It actually gets harder. That's why it's great. Like In-N-Out Burger is fucking awesome because it's like you've got only a few things on the menu. And that's where, from Apple's perspective, in the 90s, Apple had so many different products and they were failing. And when Steve Jobs came back, it was all about simplifying. It was giving consumers less rather than more choice, which I think is something that gets lost because you just want to add so much more.
So it's like an illusion that multiple options gives you. Oh, you feel comfort in, I've got lots to choose from. So I feel, you know, it's like,
but you can only choose one.
But then that is the thing. So that's the paradox. Oh, I love having lots to choose from. Then you're like, fuck, I can't even choose one. It definitely happens.
Yeah.
So often.
Yeah.
And so I always land on watching the world's toughest prisons. Let's be honest. That's what everyone lands on. Yeah. It's just like when you're like, you know, there's choices that you make when it's like you're fed up with everything else. And so you've given up at that point and you're watching something just because it's there. You don't care for it and you're like, whatever. I found that the other night and I was watching World's Toughest Prisons and it was like season 3 or something and this host, he was awesome and he was like, I was like, is this guy a tough motherfucker or what? Like, I can't tell. He goes in and stays in the prison for 5 days and he's, you know, he's in like South America. He's in...
This is the where there was the German one.
German,
too,
yeah. So the German... German one where they've got fucking everything. It's a kingdom. No.
Do they have the glass soda stream? They've got the crystal one.
But I was looking this guy up and let me find him. He served 12 years in prison and he was talking because I thought he was just like, you know, a bit of a poser. It'd be like me in there doing presenting. It's like someone's like, oh, How good is this guy? This guy. Anyway, he did 12 years in prison and he was wrongfully convicted. He never committed the crime.
Yeah, it's full on.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah, it's not ideal. Yeah, my go-to at the moment with that, like just having a fallback is Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek, yeah, you've mentioned
that. It's fucking great, yeah. So Brie and I have been like so easy. When you have a show that you can watch, they only go for like 20 minutes. So you can like punch out two and it's no problem. But just having... at the end of the day, we know what we're watching.
Yeah,
is so much easier.
Yeah, I think so. This guy's name, I think, is Raphael Rowe. Raphael Rowe, and in prison, he learnt journalism.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, which studied.
He studied journalism, and came out the other side, and now lands a TV gig. I mean, imagine those lives where you're just like, you know, when people that just have gone through, you know. High school, got a job, you know, had it pretty easy. Just, you know, life's, you know, it's meant to be where it's meant to be. It's like very easy to say that. But when you have something very tough, like being sent to prison when you didn't do the crime, and then your life actually turns out well on the other side or you get it back on the straight and narrow. And then, you know, it's a serving belief to think this all happened for a reason. I am here because of X, Y, and Z. And if it didn't, you know, the lessons I learned from those tough times. I mean, what else have we got to really pull on?
Well, yeah, everyone's got their own unique story. Ray Mooney, who was my old screenwriting lecturer, he was the first Australian prisoner to get his degree in prison.
Wow. That was Pentridge Prison, wasn't it?
Yep. It was at H Division there. But it was just interesting. Like, He started off writing plays and then films and it's interesting because I remember he's such a he had such an impact in regards to how he taught. He was such a he is such a great teacher. It's interesting to think about, I think that people go into oh, what did you do? Or what the whole thing is? But it's interesting with a lot of people who have those experiences, you don't necessarily feel comfortable. Are you eating a Big Mac? Is that what that sound is?
No, sorry. This is a nugget.
Okay.
What are you saying? Do you think he had an interesting perspective? Yeah.
So interesting. I think that he's written some interesting books on sort of the topics of things that he's learnt whilst being where he's become friends with inmates and then sort of learnt about different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember, because I was younger, I was 21 when I found out. I was like, oh, he was in fucking prison. And it's just it's that whole, it's a weird thing, the first time. Have you ever become friends with someone and then found out that they've had some crazy past?
No, I think it's the curiosity around someone that may have a disability, be in a wheelchair, could have had an accident, and it's the curiosity around how it happened. Because I think everyone's thinking in them about themselves at that point. It's like, wow, you're looking at your own life, thinking about if you went to prison or if you were in a car accident, all these things. And I've had friends that have been in all of those situations, prison, paraplegics, it's all of that, suicide, what happened, you're instantly taken to the place. But, we've had Mick Hall on the show who... Mm-hmm. Served quite a long time in prison, and now he's helping people kick the habit, drug addiction with a rehab facility, Dayhab. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's it would feel like a new existence. It would feel like you've had two lives, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these people that have been in prison have had a belief system to survive those places, and then if they're coming out, they're needing to acclimatized to a whole new, not just environment, but internal environment about how to live in this world. And so, yeah, it's a unique perspective that you can't get without having that experience. So there's definitely something different about the people who've been through it.
Mm. Have you had any friends that have gone to juvie that were able to come out on the other side a better person? Because I don't know what I was reading, but I was reading something the other day around maybe the book The Listening Society, but they were talking about how juvie just fucks with people. It's actually not it doesn't serve. There needs to be some sort of intervention that happens at a young age, but it needs to be around education or trying to work out a purpose for these individuals, rather than putting them into a system that where everyone's committing crime and that's where you know it sort of becomes a systemic thing.
Oh, my friend would call me most nights from juvenile, and so the way he'd do it was, because you can't call,
it's like an episode of numbers, fucking Serial.
But so what his mum would call me and then bring me in on the three-way, and then we would just chat. And so we were connected, and then we'd be chatting. But he definitely, what I heard from him about that environment, imagine being at a school camp. I don't know if you've had the experience with the boys, which is probably the most negative part of having the boys, where you feel like there's stacks on. It's like you don't feel safe.
It's the footy
you feel
club like vibe. Yeah.
It is like your fucking things are getting thrown. You're all staying in one room. I had a 2 liter bottle of water thrown in the dark, and it fucking hit me on the dick, and my balls went up into my chest, and it's just like I just remember that feeling of you're not safe in this moment. That's what you're on edge in those places. I don't think you can just think you're at home. Mm-hmm. You don't. And so I think he had something to do with a banana, and some guys were fucking with him. And these are young kids, but they're nasty as fuck, a lot of them. Yeah. That's why they're in there. They're not in there because they're just good little kids. They're in there because they're fucking.
So what's the
shits.
Solution, do you think?
I don't know. It could be something around real world examples with... So real world, life lessons. So I don't know. There could be some kind of system that takes young kids and partners them with adults that know a thing or two, have been through similar experiences and come out the other side, role models. But this is the thing. We're trying to solve the judicial, what is it called? The judicial system or the fucking, like that, the system, that is such
broader,
a
comp- like it's even broader than that, right? It's the,
yeah.
Where does forgiveness, where does environment versus like your fucking genetics, like where does that all sort of fit? Like, are there people that are born that are just fucking tweaked?
Yeah, it's mental health. And and so I mentioned to Mick Hall, who was in prison for many years, said in some of the hardest prisons in Australia, I said, oh, you know, it's for, they're trying to reform you. And he laughed at that point. Like, they're not, they're locking people up. They don't want to. Maybe there's a small case of people coming out really reformed and more educated than when they went in, more empathetic and more love, whatever. But I think there is the other side where it's like they're locked up. You're caging it. You're caging humans.
Yeah.
And this is without looking at what they've done, because there's many that fucking deserve to be locked away, and there's not much coming back for a lot of them. But it's,
and then you look at their life experience and how fucked up things that they may have experienced, and then
yeah, it becomes exactly. I mean, this sort world,
of cyclical problem.
World's Toughest Prisons is a version of looking at what the system looks like in different countries. And so South America, this one, there was, it's a full hierarchy. Like, there is a market store within the prison where people are running businesses. And this one guy was running a business that was making more money on the inside than what he was making on the outside as a drug dealer. And so he lost his house, and now he was the kingpin in this space, without being like a, when you say kingpin, he's not like some killer. He was just like a guy that ran this area. And literally had become a business person and had bought a house since being in there for his family on the outside. Like, it's fascinating. It's worth watching, because then you jump over to Germany, it's a different thing, and you jump over to Asia and it's like, fuck me.
And if you could be, you don't want to be. You see some of these things and it's like, oh man, they're so entrepreneurial. If they could just move it to something that wasn't illegal, they would actually do really well.
Mate, I knew a lot of drug dealers when I was young. Good business, like, for what they were selling, they were good operators.
Good business, good product.
Yeah, you know, it's supply and demand. I tell you, bro.
Can you eat the Big Mac?
I've already been eating it. Halfway through it. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's Big Mac.
On mic, Big Mac bite.
Yeah, I'll get it on my hat. Tastes like a Big Mac.
It's good. And on that note, I'm going to go. I didn't want to eat on camera. I had a few, but I've got shit in my teeth that's annoying the fuck out of me. I need some floss.
Well, I'm going to go watch World's Toughest Prisons.
Perfect. I think I'm going to go watch Schitt's Creek. It's a daily talk show. If you haven't yet, Toni Lodge, the legend, she has her own podcast. It's called One Trick Toni. If you type One Trick Toni, that's Toni with an I, into your favorite podcast app, you can listen. There's two episodes up.
Or Instagram as well. Just got a little Insta. One Trick Toni Show. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't troll the person that's got One Trick Toni. We did contact her to try and get it.
Yeah.
Hadn't uploaded for a long time. You would have thought that we could have got it.
We will get it.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Today's the talk show. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a good one. See ya.
Love you guys. Bye.